And, you know, my talk this morning is to talk about more of the organizational or administrative consolidation of two different programs, where we had previously had the HIV/AIDS program in existence and the STD control program, and the decision that was made about a year and a half ago that these two programs were then going to consolidate from the administrative health department perspective. And my first question is, if I could have just a very quick show of hands, how many individuals in the room currently are operating in a state health department program where it is then a consolidated or merged program? Okay. And how many individuals of those, has that been a recent merge, say that within the last 2 years? So there are a couple of extra ones. Okay. And so I felt that it would be valuable to, again, kind of share some of the things that we have gone through in the last year to year and a half, as well as then recommendations, and to see, you know, how things are going on the national front with this. So as I mentioned, we had two separate programs, STD control program, and these are the structure or key functions. These are certainly not exhaustive lists for each of these programs where it was STD and HIV. These were, though, probably the primary ones that each program, as far as when you looked at the organizational structure and the staffing that was available to follow through and conduct some of these activities. It included certainly on the STD surveillance, administrative oversight of clinical and lab services across the state, primarily in our public health unit system. Partner services, which partner services for many years in Louisiana have been shared 50-50 from our HIV prevention as well as then from the STD CSPS grant. Outbreak response, and then on HIV, we had surveillance services, ADAP from our Ryan White side. Prevention, we also had staff with evaluation, grants management, and also a number of staff who were more specific to business administration. You can see certainly the differences in the number of staffing from these two programs before they were merged, where we, in the central office, and I do want to emphasize this is in our central office of staff who are reporting directly to the program versus, you know, we had 12 staff people in the central office for STD. For DIS, our DIS, we had an additional 40 to 45 DIS who are spread out then across the entire state, but they report directly to our regional administrators, to 9 different public health regional administrators. And so it was a little bit, you know, we have an additional step of going through as far as the DIS working with the program. $8 million budget on STD, and the location as far as the office is that this was after Katrina, the Office of Public Health Department, the building was pretty much demolished. It now is a nice grassy open field that I can see from my office right now. But basically after Katrina, individuals and programs that were in that office were moved to a suburb in New Orleans, and they pretty much stayed there for about 5.5 years before moving back into the city of New Orleans. And on the HIV side then with staffing, we had 55 staff, $36 million budget. Approximately half of that is our Ryan White ADAP program or AIDS Drug Assistance Program, and we were located downtown. We had an office that was not in the same office as the STD and a lot of the other OPH programs, and so our building wasn't quite salvaged. We were in there for about 2 months, then we got evicted and we found another place in New Orleans after Katrina. So what happened in November, December of 2010 is that there was an announcement that these two programs would merge. And this was a decision that was made pretty much from higher-ups within the Office of Public Health. And they saw that for efficiency reasons that these two programs already do have some collaboration and that this was an opportunity to strengthen that collaboration and to share some of the resources and to integrate our services more effectively. What happened on the staffing side is that the program manager on the STD program, her position was eliminated. And that position, she then was offered another position within the combined program, which she accepted and then stayed there for about 3 to 4 months before then identifying another position in a different program. And for myself at that time, I was on the HIV, I was in the HIV program. Our previous director, who had been there for about 14 years, had then been promoted into the assistant secretary's office. I was the director for on an interim basis for 6 months, kind of permanently took that position in October, and approximately 5 weeks later was informed that these two programs would merge. And so this was certainly a pretty significant announcement that was being made. I also do want to say, and I will say this freely, the OPH leadership, as far as the immediate person, not up in the assistant secretary's office, but the individual who was right above me, basically was absent during the first 6 months of this consolidation. She was close to retirement, and she pretty much said to the other program manager from the STD program, she told the two of us, you know, y'all just get in a room and kind of sort this out and figure it out, and kind of let me know if you need any assistance. But for the most part, she had already checked out. And so with that, there were a number of immediate things of, okay, what are we going to do? Let's roll up our sleeves and let's jump into how we're going to approach this. And so what I'm going to try and do is walk through very quickly some of the key things that we did. They certainly weren't perfect. We certainly, you know, have our bumps and bruises from the last year to 15 months. But hopefully it's some of the things to keep in mind if your state is going through a consolidation or is considering some of these things. First of all, we had to deal with our two organizational charts. And how do you then create a single chart? And I know that for some states, when you look at organizational charts, and this works for a number of states, where, you know, if you're saying you're merging and then you basically say, okay, well, here's the STD line and all the staff, and here's the HIV line and all the staff, and now we have a single director. And I think that what we want, and like I said, I think that can work for states, but what we decided to do was pretty much say, we're going to really try to move these charts together. And regardless of whether you're in surveillance on STD or HIV, and regardless of whether you're doing data entry or prevention, that you then now are going to basically be comprised in different units so that you're going to have to talk to one another. And if you're from STD, you'll learn about HIV, and if you're from HIV, you need to learn about STDs. And that it can't just be two separate lines. We also have four different employers in our program. We have basically, out of our entire staff of, I think we have now about 75 to 80 staff in our central office, I think we have maybe six or seven who are OPH civil service employees. Everyone else is contract, and then we had six CDC federal assignees when this process started. And so working with who can supervise whom and who reports to whom and who does all this was a very challenging thing, and we still continue to have to work out some of these things, but it was something that we took on. The other immediate things is that we needed to make sure that we knew what are our contracts, our budgets, our progress reports, our deadlines, what are the most urgent things that we need to make sure they don't drop off the table as we go through this merge. And then the other thing is that we had an office move where I'd mentioned that STD program had been located in a suburb of New Orleans for about 5.5 years. And last year in March, I think almost exactly right around this week, we then, all of the state programs in the New Orleans area were moved into a single office tower in downtown New Orleans, which on one hand was absolutely wonderful because we no longer then had to worry about staff who were downtown compared to those who were in a suburb. However, since they had already been making these floor plans before the announcement of the consolidation, they put the STD program on one floor and the HIV program on a separate floor. And that basically then what, and again, I think similar to the organizational chart, there were some individuals who said, well, I already know, I have, you know, people were plotted on floor plans and that process had taken forever to get to that point. And so people said, but I know I'm going to be in this window office and I'm going to be in this, you know, but I'm going to be in a cubicle. And I basically said, you know what? We're going to throw all the pieces up in the air, and we are going to go back and rearrange and try to make some sense as far as, again, having shared staff in different shared offices. And so in order to try to facilitate that communication and collaboration. Last year, we've continued to deal with budget cuts and deficit from the state general funds. The HIV side of the program basically lost all of its money from state general funds. We do manage to still do a match through the LSU Health Services or Health Sciences Center, but we have had to once again kind of say, okay, we're cutting within our program. And I think also it's been challenging to fight that perception that HIV program took over the STD program. It certainly is there. It continues to be there, and it's the emphasis to say we need to retrain our staff so that the language that we use, the way that we represent ourselves in the community, who we are and what our identity is that it's truly a combined program. And we're still not there, but we hopefully are making some progress in it. And then the other thing is that last year we brought in an external facilitator for strategic planning. And some of the things in that strategic planning process have been that we pulled together everyone and we kind of went through a mini SWOT analysis, or strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats process. And we did that both in a large group setting as well as then doing some smaller focus groups by unit, so that individuals in groups from 5 to 15 members can hopefully kind of talk about their challenges, their fears, anxieties, what does this mean for me, how is this going to change my role, I'm not happy about this, but also looking at, well, what are the opportunities of what we perhaps could not have experienced or accomplished in the past. Going through and developing this new identity of having a new name, and that, and I still catch individuals on my staff saying HAP, which was the HIV/AIDS program, and saying we are SHIP, the STD HIV program, which eventually we really hope that's going to then turn into the sexual health program in our state, and we'll kind of try to get that by Governor Jindal at some point. But it's all part of our identity to say we are SHIP. We came up with new vision and mission statements, goals and objectives, and through this process of recognizing the work cultures and the interactions. And through it as well, to make sure that we have planned and facilitated staff trainings and retrainings so that everyone has a knowledge base around both HIV, STD, and also then some team building activities. And in fact, next week we have a day-long session that is being planned, external facilitator from Colorado who's coming to spend the day with us so that we can continue to work on this. So I'm going to move through this very quickly. The other things that, because I'm running out of time, that we increased the management team membership so that there were both individuals from STD and HIV, try to utilize a participatory decision-making approach, address those office move logistics with two different floors. How can we then have the communication so that people don't feel like they're being totally separate from one floor or the other? The other thing, and I probably should put this up to higher on my list, garner the support of our CDC consultant and project officer. This was very important over the last year, where I knew that I could reach out and get a very external perspective. And both of our project officer and our consultant have been very, very supportive and also very direct and a good sounding board of saying and available to talk to during this process. And the other thing was I was committed to trying to maintain and communicate and at times maybe even over-communicate during these times of change so that people had a good balance of, what's going on, what decisions are being made, how can we do this, what does this mean for me, but don't heighten that anxiety too much. And so finding that nice balance. Where we are at this point, we're continuing with some of our strategic planning process with small groups that continue to focus on some of the things, to acknowledge that it has been a very high burden on staff during this last year, and people have worked tirelessly in order to say, okay, this is what we need to do, and I want to acknowledge that. We have also had staff turnover, some who said, this just isn't quite it for me, and we've had a few of those. We've also had a couple where we've asked individuals to leave the program, because if it was seen that they just really weren't getting on board, they weren't getting on the ship, some jump ship, some came on the ship, some left the ship, that it was that we've had to deal with those turnovers. And I've also then see a core team of leaders who have emerged within our program because of this, and it has been exciting on that side. You know, I say at around holiday time, it was about a year since we had done this move, and I said to my staff, you know, it's been a year, and I look at myself in the mirror, and I have more gray hairs, I have a few more pounds on me. I have many fewer hours of sleep at night over the last year than I had in the past. But I also, you know, feel that we are here, and we're still here, and this is our vision and our mission, and it's very important that that we continue, and that we have to have some hope that what we are going to be is a stronger program in the end. And so this was I'm out of time. Acknowledgements. Thank you very much. Many other people here, and I guess I'll potentially have time for questions afterwards. Thank you. Barbara from Maryland is going to be our next presenter.
I'm Veronica Hartwell from Fulton County Department of Health and Wellness.
Yes.
And I just want to validate your efforts because Fulton County 11 years ago went through this same process, merging HIV, STD, and TB programs together, not only the programs but the medical clinics as well. It took an effort to migrate the staff mindset to get to where we are as one integrated program, but it does work, and I just want to validate that point. It does work. We went through a new name of a communicable disease prevention branch, new mission, new goals, all of that. I just want to say it works. It's just going to take an effort, but it works.
Thank you so much for your support and encouragement.
Kevin Fenton from CDC. CDC has been very clear in not being prescriptive on the structure of STD, HIV, or hepatitis programs at the local level, because we believe that that should be developed organically to meet your own needs. So it was really good to see and to get the history behind your move. My question, however, is how do you become more than the sum of your parts as you are integrating? So are you thinking of moving strategic directions that the HIV and STI program should be moving in now that you're combined? You alluded to sexual health, but you didn't go into much depth. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if there are other strategic priorities that you may now take on because of this consolidation.
That's a very good question. I think that it is true that some of the focus, I do see that with this consolidation, perhaps where one program had previously been stronger in an area, and now then being able to bring those together and to share some of the resources. And I think that especially in our prevention efforts and the need, you know, I think that it has been more on the HIV side of being able to do some stronger prevention efforts in the community. And I think that with STD, now to make sure that if we're doing HIV, STD information and counseling and other treatment or diagnosis and treatment is occurring as well. I think that the other side too is that with our DIS, even though previously it had been 50-50 support financially, I think that with a combined program, looking at our partner services and being able to also do some effective targeting in those areas that need that, especially our high morbidity areas. So I don't know if that fully, but off the top of my head, those are a few things.